Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush Monday, the return of Noel. A Jew's harp?
Chuck, Ozark Mountain harp, if you please.
I actually looked that up because it was a part of a Stuff You Should Know live show one time. And I was like, listen, before I say Jew's harp on stage, I want to make sure this is not offensive. And the internet told me it was not offensive.
I'm just teasing you, Chuck, but it is funny how it was rebranded, probably unnecessarily, with the more PC Ozark Mouth Harp moniker. I'm doing okay, Chuck. Quarantine's been a little nuts, and the reason I busted this out, I just found this in my freezer.
The Jew's harp?
Yeah.
What was it doing in there?
Well, I obviously put it in there whilst drunk or something, you know, quarantine drunk.
Best drunk.
I mean, it is, but you know, it was a nice surprise. It was sort of resting on a bag of frozen peas, and now I have it at my desk here. It's a little totem.
So I am now going to buy one of these. I just went to Amazon, and they have them listed as jaw harps. And now I'm wondering if the internet lied to me, and if that is truly an offensive thing to say.
The internet never lies, Chuck. I mean, the internet is just a mirror reflecting back our own greatest fears and insecurities.
And now I'm wondering the difference between a $4.99 jaw harp and a $57 jaw harp.
Well, it's all in the vibrations, Chuck, in the material. You know, the $4.99 one is probably like what I've got here. It's probably made of some, you know, crappy metal, and the expensive one's probably made of like wrought iron or like some sort of was like you know, pulled up from an old railway line. You know,
I feel like I need to get one of the maybe the middle ground ones, like the $30 one.
Work your way up to the high end one. First of all, I know you can pick it up, Chuck, but it took me a while. You really have to press it against your teeth really hard.
Yeah.
And that really triggers some people. Some people don't like teeth and metal, and so it's not for everyone.
But. Well, I had one when I was a kid, and I did not touch my teeth with it. I wrapped my lips around my teeth and did it that way. Are you supposed to press it against your teeth?
That's the only way it vibrates. It needs to vibrate. It like vibrates against your whole skull.
Hmm.
It's a whole thing. I don't know how your lips would dampen the vibrations, I would think.
Hey, it's not here. Try it real quick with your lips.
I don't even understand what you're describing here. They're like, oh my God, you're right, Chuck.
See, you don't have to put it against your teeth.
The internet lied to me too.
Oh, I hate you, internet. You're so dishonest and shitty.
We can't live without you, especially during these our troubled core times.
Yeah, so this is the first time you've been on in a few weeks. I sent you a text just to make sure that you knew it was nothing personal. I just, while people are stuck at home, I thought I'd throw some just different sort of special shows their way. And I had Hodgman on for a couple. And then Josh made his first appearance, which was a very big deal on Movie Crush.
Was it like a proper crush? It was like a proper sit down about
a
movie?
No, he did a mini, which I thought, you know, he was going to come on for a regular crush. We've been talking about it since the show started. Mm. But I thought the mini would be a more fun thing to do right now with him than to sit around and talk about Paper Moon for an hour, which is a great movie, to be sure.
Totally.
And it was. We had a blast. We did it at cocktail hour. We each had a drink, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, Chuck, I just want to point out, you know, there are such a thing as a three-way podcast. You know, you could have invited me to the cocktail hour. I wouldn't have been, like, offended or anything.
Can we do that? Is the technology there?
Oh, the technology is there, my man.
So we just do a three-way Skype call and everyone records?
And then we all record our sides and then we put it all in post into the magic computer bucket. And then it comes out clean.
Shake it up, and it comes out a podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
You know what? I'm going to have to try that then, because I was just wondering. I just recorded with Annie Reese, and I was thinking, because she wants to do Empire Strikes Back, but so does Paul. And I was like, I wonder if we can all three do this in quarantine.
Dude, we do stuff that I want you to know with three of us and Paul on the line. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you and I should, let's get it going then. That'll be fun.
I would love that. That'd be a lot of fun.
So you, let's catch up a little more. When I, when I know you saw the picture of my face, but when I popped up on your Skype, you jumped back in horror at my big round naked face.
I think you look great. Honestly, Chuck, it was for effect. It was for your benefit. But yeah, no, it's, I think I've told the story about how the one time I shaved my face when my kid was like maybe two, she started crying and she freaked out and didn't know who I was. So it's a jarring experience, you know.
It is.
It's certainly a good thing to have a beard that everyone recognizes you with, so that if you ever have to run from the law, you can just shave and then no one will ever know it was you.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, people go incognito by wearing fake beards and things. I am unrecognizable right now in public. Not that I get recognized that much anyway, but I definitely, without my hat and my beard, am about 12 years younger and unrecognizable as me.
Yeah, I would look very young too. I have a bit of a baby face as well. Slight spoiler for like a 25-year-old movie, but there's a Spanish film called Amoros Perros.
Yeah, great movie.
Which is wonderful, but that's sort of one of the devices in it. There's this character who you always see as this like homeless kind of like bum who picks up strays that are like from the dog fighting world and trains them and has them as pets or whatever. And then something happens. I don't remember exactly what happens, but he ends up shaving, trimming his nails, putting on a suit, and he just looks like a completely different human. And it's one of the coolest like transformations in a movie that I've ever seen. It was really great.
Yeah, I was worried about Ruby, and she spent the night at my mom's house and came back the next day, and I met her at the car, and she had a very sad look on her face, and she said, "Why did you cut your beard?" And she said, "I don't like you with your beard cut."
Oh no.
And I was like, you know, it's still me, kiddo. And she kind of couldn't look me in the eye for about 15 minutes. She sort of sulked around and didn't want to look at me. And then I wormed my way in there and got a snuggle. And she eventually touched my face and said I looked funny. And then it was fine.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how, I mean, obviously with children, but anyone, you know, really get a personal attachment to either like the length of people's hair when they're like, oh my God, you cut your hair. It's like it's someone affront to me personally that you've made this choice, you know?
Yeah.
People are very strange, Chuck.
Well, and kids get attached. You know, she cried the other day because I had a new horse in Red Dead Redemption. Because she was
used to... Did you kill your horse?
I didn't. I got a better horse.
Oh, good.
And I couldn't tell her that. I was like, oh, no. The other horse is still in the stable. I didn't tell her. I just sort of, you know, got rid of the horse.
Definitely didn't send it to the glue factory.
So what else is going on? Anything else you need to catch up on? I think you mentioned before that you were moving.
I've decided to move. Yeah, I got the email from my landlord that my lease is up. I didn't realize it was quite so soon, but I've been wanting to get a bigger place. I have a roommate who I love dearly. We've been friends for a long time, and it's not really out of necessity. It's more just like we like each other and enjoy living together, and it's, you know, cheaper and fun. But
so you're going to hang with this roommate in the new place too?
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I've gotten to this place where like I just really want, you know, he's got a girlfriend and I've got a 11-year-old, and I just have gotten to the point where I want my own space, like for my recording equipment. You guys can't see it obviously, but I'm in my bedroom right now and I'm surrounded by synthesizers and guitars, and it's all like feet away from my bed, and I just want a house with like a office, like a third room where I can have all that. Especially not knowing how long this work from home situation is going to go on, I've really realized I want a better space for myself, because I've been stuck in this one and really kind of hit home the fact that I don't really like it anymore. I've outgrown it. So
you're gonna go Han Solo and live alone.
Yep.
In a house or an apartment?
A house. I mean, I've got a ton. It's funny. My ex-wife, I mentioned, she and I are really, really good friends. She has taken this cause on, and she is just finding me the perfect place.
Cool.
So we're actually, she's coming over this afternoon, and we're going to go look at a few spots together. But
what part of town?
Eastlake, kind of Candler, Decatur area.
Yeah, man. Come on over.
Really, really, really close to where you guys and she lives. And yeah, just want to be closer to her and the family, because I really spend a lot of time with them, and I really love their family and their daughter, and not mine, the other one. We're right. Kind of Uncle Noel, they call me. So it's like a weird extended great. Family. So
and where
really
are they?
Excited about
are
that.
They in Eastlake?
They're sort of in Eastlake, Candler, McAfee area, yeah. kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, it's funny. It's not. I mean, you're 10 minutes from there.
Like, oh, I know.
All these neighborhoods are so close.
Exactly. It's really, that's just kind of secondary. But I also like, you know, I've been doing well with work and put a little money away, and couldn't have happened at a better time. I just felt like the universe was telling me, this is what you want to do. And I do.
Is this going to be your first time you've lived by yourself?
It is, actually. Yeah.
Dude,
I've never lived by
it's
myself.
It's a big deal and it's a lot of fun. I remember the first time I lived by myself was when I moved to LA. I got my first apartment by myself, and it was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So fun to have your own space, in charge of your own domain. Roommates are great, but when you finally make that move, you're going to be better for it, dude. I can't wait to get your home office and studio up and running.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited, and I just feel like I'm at this place where I'm ready to kind of go to the next stage of my existence, and I think this is a good push in that direction. So, thanks, Chuck.
You're all grows up, Noel.
Aw, well, it only took me 36 years.
Well, I wouldn't have moved to L.A. I moved to L.A. in, like, 2001, so 19, let's say 20 years ago. I was in my late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, I'm a late bloomer, Chuck.
I was too. There's no shame in that. No. All right, Noel. So I can mark ketchup off my list.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did that chore.
What a chore that was, too. It's just a real slog.
It's good seeing you, man.
Yeah, you too, dude.
So we're going to move on. I've been meaning, I wanted to do this with Hodgman. I wanted to do it with Josh, but we ran short on both of those. And so I'm finally getting to use it now on the Movie Crush page I posted, a couple of weeks ago now. And this is something I borrowed from Movie Crusher Jason Roberts. He posted this on the Crushers page, and I reposted to get some more traction here. And he posted a very cool question that I don't think we've ever discussed, which is, what two or more actors do you get confused?
Oh gosh, I've got one immediately.
Let's hear
it. To the point where I already can't even differentiate them in my mind. Christopher Maloney,
okay,
who was in. Let's see, he was in he's in a lot of stuff. Christopher, hold on, I gotta because I really can't even remember the other guy's name. Maloney.
Christopher Maloney. He's an actor.
He's an actor.
Okay, I got him.
Isn't he what was he, an actor?
I'm trying to decide who he looks like now. Oh, wait, is that? No, this is not an actor that I just pulled up.
Yeah, so Christopher, I can text you his IMDb. Really.
Oh, Maloney. Okay, I know that guy. Yeah. I know who you're going to say. Elias Koteas, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They look like indistinguishable to me. I always am having a hard time differentiating them. Elias Koteas, exactly. You're totally, yeah. Yes.
And when you type in Christopher Maloney and then the letter E, Elias Koteas comes up. So it says, and there are a lot of comp pictures listed of them side by side.
This is not like, you know, unusual, but it's the one that always gets me, because I will often say, remember that guy from that one movie, and it'll be the movie the other guy was in, and like Casey Jones and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you which one of them played him, but I know it was one of those two guys.
Yeah. It's funny that I'm looking at celebrity lookalikes now. And of course, the Will Ferrell, Chad Smith thing is always funny.
That is funny.
And true. They look a lot alike, actually. It's weird. All right, so let's see what the Crushers have to say. This got a lot of good traction. Let me see here. Let's start off with, and some of these make total sense, and some of these people admit they're like, I don't even know why. They don't even really look alike, but it's just one of those brain things.
Totally.
One of our favorite names here on the Crushers page, Margarita Saramago, says, I don't know why in God's name I mix them up, but Christopher Walken and Steve Buscemi. I always need a beat before remembering who is who. sometimes it's characters people play. Sometimes it's like a Paxton Pullman thing where it's just the name.
Yeah, it's tough too, especially if you have like some actors that are known for their characters and are really chameleonic. You could definitely, you know, confuse one version of them with like somebody that maybe they were inspired by even a little bit.
You know? Yeah, totally. See, my laptop fan has just fired up again. I told you I was having that issue. So there may be some background noise in this one, everyone. Apologies. Brandy Burdan says Jessica Alba and Scarlett Johansson. I think it has to do with the fact that they both play in superhero movies. Okay. Hmm. You know, Jessica Alba, she doesn't act so much anymore because she's busy running her fucking billion-dollar empire.
What variety of empire is it, Chuck? Makeup or something?
No, it's, I think it's kids stuff. She, Honest.
Yes, that's right. Honest brand, like the soap and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think she sold Honest, if I'm not mistaken, for a boatload of money. And good for her. Like, that's what you do. That's the whole thing, is you build up this company and wait for, like, Procter & Gamble to come by.
Can I backtrack really quick and say I apologize for being so stereotypical and saying, what was it, makeup or something? What a dick move. Gosh.
Well, so. It's fine. There are definitely some famous women who have makeup lines. There's nothing. I get what you're saying, Noel, but don't be so hard on yourself. And now I'm obsessed with finding out how much she sold that business for. Maybe she still owns it. I don't know. I can't get sidetracked with Honest stuff.
No,
though,
no, no. We got so much more ground to cover.
Let me see. Our old pal, Vanessa Lopez, says Ron Livingston and Kyle Chandler. Yeah, they look alike. I get that. Emma Clark says Isla Fisher and Amy Adams. I don't get them confused because they're very distinct in my brain, but I could see how people would get them confused. You know?
Oh, there's definitely some Ron Livingston, Kyle Chandler split-screen
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You can always tell if there's a split screen. If there's a split screen of me and Kevin Smith out there, I'm going to be pretty upset.
People used to say I look like, honestly, Chuck, it's a chubby beard guy thing. People used to say I looked like Zach Galifianakis when he was hot.
Yeah,
back in high school, people used to say I looked like Kevin Smith. They'd call me Lunchbox. It really hurt my feelings.
Oh, God. Jack Black, did you ever get that?
I got Jack Black a lot, but I really like Jack Black.
Sure.
He's so spry. I love his TikTok videos of him just like flopping around doing these crazy like TikTok dances.
Boy, I got a lot when I posted this beardless Chuck thing. I got, first of all, I don't even know how. I got like 8,000 views and there's only like 5,000 or 6,000 people on that page. So
you must have gotten shared out elsewhere.
Yeah, I got shared out a little bit, but probably, you know, obviously with stuff you should know people because no one else gives a shit. But I got a lot of different people with the no beard. Everyone from Nathan Lane to a lot of people said the lead singer of The Descendants, which I was totally stoked about.
Hmm.
I was like, I'll take that.
A lot of that has to do with your glasses, though.
Yeah,
you got
sure.
Those kind of like thick, black, cool hipster glasses.
Yeah, I got the Ray-Bans. Let me see. Tyler Pace says Jason Schwartzman and Jason Biggs. Yeah, they're pretty distinct to me, but I get it.
I would say more like David Schwimmer and Jason Biggs.
The Schwimms?
The Schwimms.
Alyssa Galmish says Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds. They're pretty much one person to me. I prefer Gosling, though. Ha ha.
Interesting.
I like both those guys. They should be in a buddy movie.
I think it just has to do with the fact that they're both like obnoxiously handsome men.
Yeah.
You know,
and talented.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's
funny.
That too.
They've got it all. What was the movie that was so fucking funny with Gosling and Russell Crowe that I think was kind of undersung? The other guys? Was that it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the Nice Guys?
The Nice Guys. It was The Nice Guys. It was like a buddy cop movie. No, I didn't see that. No.
Oh, dude, it is so funny. Ryan Gosling is hysterical
maybe
in that
isn't
movie.
Isn't it like a period one? Like, isn't it in the 60s or something? Yeah, I did see
it.
It was awesome.
70s.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, man. He is so funny in that movie. Veronica Summerhill says, Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal might as well be twins to me.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't see that one either. But again, these are all like personally people's brain, will just play a trick on them that may not make sense to the rest of us. Here's an interesting one. Chris Knapp says Hugh Hefner and Larry King. All right.
Interesting.
All right. This is very interesting. Jason Brown says Jeremy and Jason London. One was in Dazed and Confused and Mallrats. The other, I think, Seventh Heaven. I don't really know. Maybe they're the same person. Well, Jason, my friend, I want to introduce you to a little concept called twins. They're twins.
Like, you mean the movie? Like with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito?
No, twins is just the biological life concept of twins.
Oh, I get it now. They sort of turned that on its head with twins because Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito look nothing alike.
I think it's funny that this guy didn't know that Jeremy and Jason London were twin brothers.
Well, let's not shame him for it. But
no, I'm not going to shame him.
I know. Well, of course not.
It's just a Google search away.
I got a good one. Bill Hicks and Alex Jones.
Interesting.
Oh, it's a thing, dude. Look it up. It's pretty wild. There's like a conspiracy theory that they're the same person.
Well, which is hysterical because Bill Hicks was a liberal champion and Alex Jones is a cretin.
Toady.
Bill Hicks, Alex. Oh, so there's like, there's stuff. They do look alike.
They really do. There's even like images where people are like comparing their bone structure and stuff. And like, you know,
people have too much time on their hands.
They sure do. They sure do.
Let me see. Here's a good one. This is from Amanda Tassi. Carrie Mulligan and Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That I agree with for sure.
Totally get that.
I find them. That's another one of those pairs that are sort of interchangeable in my mind.
Yeah. Jim Frank says Jason Patrick and Patrick Wilson. Okay. The more famous someone is, the tougher it is to, like Amanda Caron says Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon. And then Jeremy Carpenter commented that The Departed was so confusing because he gets those two people confused and they were in the same movie. I've seen this one before. Abby Kitzmiller says Nick Nolte and Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah. They both have kind of a blonde, wild-eyed unhingedness to them, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was aided by various mugshots over the years because there's that one very famous Nick Nolte mugshot where he just looks batshit crazy.
Yeah, he looks like Gary Busey.
He does. It's very Busey-esque.
Gary Busey just looks like that all the time. Nick Nolte only looks like that in mugshots.
Man, why don't we develop a podcast with Gary Busey? That would be a hit.
I mean, didn't he have a crazy reality show for a while or something?
Probably.
I feel like he did.
But I mean, I think all you need to do is just sit him down in front of a microphone and let him go.
I love it.
That's your show.
Yeah.
Here's one that used to get me to when I was a kid, but now as an adult, not at all. Laura Lemke, Verderame. Great name, Laura. She says, I used to get Glenn Close and Meryl Streep confused. And that was definitely one for me growing up. They were sort of the same person until I realized they're both great actors, but Meryl Streep, you know, is sort of the legend of the two.
Well, they both sort of occupy a similar strong female powerhouse kind of space, you know, like in movie history. They were both kind of like coming up at the same time and had similar types of, like, was it, so Glenn Close is in Terms of Endearment?
Yes.
Right.
No. Terms of Endearment was neither of them.
Oh, wait, what am I thinking? No, I'm thinking Steel Magnolias, excuse me. And she wasn't in that either. Never mind. We're cutting all of this.
No, leave it all in. All right. Glenn Close was in The Big Chill. Is that what you were thinking?
No, I haven't seen
Fatal Attraction. Glenn Close is in Fatal Attraction. That's probably her biggest, most famous role is Alex, the bunny boiling murderous side piece.
she boiled a bunny in that movie?
Yeah, man. You didn't see Fatal Attraction.
Was it a pet bunny? That's terrible.
Yeah, that's a big spoiler, but it's such a part of the public consciousness, I didn't feel bad revealing it.
Did I tell you I went to an event with Glenn Close? Like I was like feet from her. Yeah. Cause she was in that podcast that my buddy John Cameron Mitchell. I'm not flexing when I say that we talk and stuff. But he had her in his podcast Anthem Homunculus, which is fantastic on the Luminary Network. If you haven't heard it, it's a psychedelic head trip. It's just fantastic with music and everything. And she played a character in that, and he did this marathon listening party at the IFC Center in New York. And Glenn Close came and did a little speech and brought her dog, Pippi.
Nice.
Peep. And she seemed very nice. I didn't say, "Hello, Mrs. Close. Thank you so much for all your contributions to American cinema."
I loved you in Steel Magnolias.
Yes, you were so good. And you were so good. And what was the other one? The other one that I was wrong about.
Yeah.
Terms of Endearment.
Yeah, Terms of Endearment. She's like, "Nope, still no, still not me. Thank you. Thank you for playing." Exactly. Let me see. This is one I used to get confused a little bit. Lauren Duke says Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman. They're similar, I think. A lot of Paxton and Pullmans. James Diaz says Amy Adams and Rachel McAdams. I don't see that one so much.
Must just be the Adams thing that's throwing them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, boy, this is a good one because they really do look a lot alike. Victoria Reed says Jamie Presley and Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, they look a lot alike. They should play sisters. All right, we're going to finish up here with our old pal, Robert Paulson. Hope you're hanging in there out in L.A., buddy. Emma Watson and Emily Watson, just their names. I just want to call them each other. Okay. I get that, too.
Totally fair.
All right, so we are going to move on to another post. And this is from the Crushers page. This is from one of our oldest of pals, Patrick Gorman, and he always posts a lot of fun stuff on the Crushers page. And this is very simple, and I can't believe I've never asked this, but what is the movie that made you realize I love movies? Very simple. Noel, I don't know if you have one. Do you remember your first one? It's probably the first movie I ever saw.
It would have been a little later for me. Like, I definitely liked movies and enjoyed movies. But like as far as what really got me into digging a little deeper and getting into directors and cinematographers and stuff, it would have been a movie like Platoon, maybe.
Yeah.
Or I went through, a lot of those movies we talked about, the very influential year, which the year itself escapes me. But Fight Club and American Beauty were two.
Yeah, where 99.
I was like, okay, this David Fincher character has got something going on. And I looked into all of his work and started researching all of his influences. This thing, like for music, for me, it was Smashing Pumpkins because they had really interesting bands that influenced them. So because of them, I got into like Black Sabbath and Joy Division and My Bloody Valentine. Yeah. So that's sort of how I think of it.
You know, I'm doing that that silly Facebook thing where you name your 10 most influential albums.
Mm.
And that has been a lot of fun because it's... I usually don't do that stuff, but this there was something about influential as opposed to favorite that really intrigued me, because you really got to put a lot of thought into what bands do you simply love that record and what bands really kind of altered the way you look at music or maybe introduce you to a genre you had never heard before. And it was really interesting to kind of go back through. I'm almost done with it now, but to kind of look at these touchstones through my life of music that influenced me. It's a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah.
Has anyone nominated you for that, Noel?
No, please do. I would do that all day long. I just haven't been checking Facebook very much. I need to put notifications back on because I've been mainly using Instagram, but I would love to do something like that. I'll turn notifications on.
All right. So what movie made you realize you love movies? One of our oldest friends, Jane Jinab, who, by the way, she won the garden competition. I posted a picture of my backyard and garden because, we've been working hard on it. And I was like, I know a lot of you guys have been working hard too during quarantine. So a lot of people posted pictures and Jane's is off the hook. It is so goddamn lovely. So way to go, Jane. She says Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was right up there for me too. I think Raiders and E.T. were those early movies for me that sort of magical, and of course Star Wars, that really took me to a place where I was like, man, this is, I'm going to be watching movies for the rest of my life. Ginny Livett says Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Totally. The Danger Oven, by the way, Gail Kuntz revealed what the Danger Oven means via email. I can't tell you guys, but it's a great story. She says, this is Spinal Tap. Made her realize she loved movies. That's a good one. The author of this thought experiment, Patrick Gorman, says Saving Private Ryan and Titanic. All right. So that came on a little later, unless he's younger than I thought. Heidi Laumann says Jewel of the Nile. Oh, man, that was great. That and Romancing the Stone. Big, big movies for me as a kid.
Which one came first?
Romancing the Stone was first.
That's what I thought.
And Jewel of the Nile was the slightly lesser sequel. Not quite as good, but still fun. Jason Roberts says Tarantino movies, period. They made me feel like I was at least as cool as his characters for simply having seen the movie. Okay.
That was back in those days where it's like, I was so ignorant about, you know, culture and stuff that I was like, this Pulp Fiction, man, no one else has heard of it. I'm the only one. It's like, yeah, just for me.
It's kind of
like,
fun.
I remember like going to see Ween in concert,
yeah,
at the Coca-Cola Roxy, and I got there really early and there was like nobody there. And I was like, you guys, I'm like the one. It's just going to be for me. I figured it out. I have my finger on the pulse, you know?
Yeah, that's a special thing though, that has to do with a certain age and discovering things, because I said the very same thing in one of my music albums posts. Because I did a twofer one day. I did REM's Life Search Pageant and U2's Unforgettable Fire as a twofer. And when I was first getting into music when I was a kid, it was American Top 40 and MTV and Pop Hits and Classic Rock Radio, which was just always on and still is on the radio. But when I first discovered Album 88, which is our great college radio station here in Atlanta for Georgia State University, 88.5, Left of the Dial, when I discovered that radio station when I was like 13 and 14 and 15, and heard REM and U2 for the first time, I was like, this is a secret.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No one knows about these guys.
Yep.
And you would only tell friends that you thought would get it. You wouldn't broadcast it too loudly. It's a pretty special thing. Of course, there were other people listening to them, but that's that kind of connection that a band or a movie can have with a young kid of like, this is for you. It's pretty special.
Oh, totally agree.
Let me see here. Josh Toko says, watching Superman catch Lois Lane and the helicopter in Superman the movie as a kid, and then as an adult, still getting chills every single time.
I always thought Superman was kind of a dick, the way he like just drops her out of the window, you know, and then like catches her. It's like he's sort of like
toying
fucking with her a little bit. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like pulling the girl's hair on the playground.
A little bit.
Because you like her. let me see. Tyler Byrne says Dead Poets Society. Yeah, that was pretty monumental movie for me, too. As was Stand By Me, and that comes from Jody Sells Queen. Big, big movie. American Beauty, that comes from old friend Megan Carroll. Scott Marvel says Die Hard made him love movies. That's certainly a great crash course in awesome filmmaking.
Did you see Die Hard with a Vengeance, Chuck?
It was
I thought Die Hard with a Vengeance really kicked ass. Like,
that was
Jeremy
Irons. Sam Jackson one. Yeah, that was
Sam
good.
Jackson. Jeremy Irons is a totally evil villain, mad bomber guy, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that really held up. And in many ways, I mean, it's hard to say it's better than the second one is forgettable to me.
Yeah, the second one's not very good.
With the Vengeance really stuck out in my mind. I think I saw it in the theaters like a couple of times when it came out.
Yeah, it was really good. It had a clever concept with the whole sort of scavenger hunt around New York and the ticking clock. And I thought it was really, really good. I saw him all. I did not see that last one with the kid when his son came on the scene.
Yeah, isn't Bruce not in that one like at all?
No, I mean, he's in it. I'm pretty sure. Like, I didn't see it, but maybe he wasn't in it as much. Was he not in it that much?
I for some reason in my mind, I think that he wasn't in it, but he maybe was like just sort of the elder statesman diehard guy sort of passing the baton, but I could be wrong.
I gotcha. Matt Yost says The Royal Tenenbaums, magical movie. I'm really worried this new Wes Anderson movie is going to be delayed now. Noel, everything's delayed. I'm so upset.
Why... do you don't think it was done already? Then they released the trailer. It seems like it was pretty fully formed seeming, or at the very maybe. Least it's shot. And
but
you can
I mean,
edit
they're delaying stuff anyway because you can't
that's
go to
true.
Movies.
Can go to the theaters. That's right. I wonder how this experiment's been working out with it, because they haven't been doing many more of them. I've noticed, like they did like Trolls,
the VOD
World
thing.
Tour, yeah, and they did like Emma, and then that movie The Hunt, and I haven't really seen any others.
Yeah, Invisible Man too, or whatever that. Version of that was called the new one with Peggy from Mad Men. I don't know. I mean, you did see all the ruckus caused with AMC theaters and Universal, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, like there's also a whole situation where they're kind of having to see how much money they're going to make off of this. And I just sort of feel like because there haven't been more of them, like it's not doing well. You know what I mean? Like, cause you know, even
well, Trolls
like,
killed it.
Trolls did well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's why Universal came out and was like, hey, this may be the way forward.
See, I didn't hear that news. I just noticed that, like, I would have thought there would, like, Wonder Woman, for example, that was just about to come out. And like, I would have thought maybe they would have dropped it in VOD,
right.
But you know, they haven't done that yet. I just wonder if they're just hedging their bets and waiting to see. Because, oh, I know you're talking about, Chuck. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to gloss over what you said. Is this, you're talking about the theaters that, like, did reduced pricing? There was
No. So Universal came out after the success of Trolls and said, the CEO, whatever, made this statement of kind of like, hey, even when things get back to normal, we might do some of this, like, in theaters and at home. And the whole way theaters work is that windowing period.
Right.
And so AMC said, you know what? We're not going to show any more Universal movies in our theaters. And then Regal came out and said, you know what? We're not going to show any more Universal movies in our theaters because you're breaking a pact that's been in place since the beginning of film, which is that we get a window to show these things. And then it goes out on video on demand or DVD or whatever.
So do you think there's, I mean, obviously there has to be to some degree, like a formal agreement with some sort of union or some sort of like, you know, group that represents all of the theaters, or is
there
more
is
of
agreement.
A handshake agreement kind of,
I think there's an agreement in place, but I don't know now that you mentioned that, because they couldn't just willy nilly break that. It may have just been like, yeah, like a, hey, this is just how it works.
Right. Because it's how it's always been.
Yeah. Like we'll go out of business as a movie theater if you start doing this. Mm-hmm. Or as a movie chain. And then there's people saying like, AMC, you've been letting your chain go downhill for years with shitty screenings and poorly behaved patrons and high priced snacks. So a lot of people are welcoming this. I'm someone who thinks that you got to keep theaters alive, man. It's like there's nothing like that experience.
I agree with you for certain movies, for sure. But then there are some that I would be much more likely to just casually check out on demand.
No, for
Than if, you know, that I would never go to the theaters to see, you know, Emma, for example. But on demand, I might check it out, you know.
Right.
So I agree with you, but I almost wonder if that means theaters are going to become more niche and it's going to be more of like that Alamo Drafthouse or like, you know, Nighthawk or like those kind of more interesting, very curated, and the experience is very geared towards people who love going to the movies.
Yeah, man. I read a really interesting, super long, deep dive article on what they think the future of entertainment is going to look like, and I can't remember where it was. I'll see if I can find it and post it, but someone wrote a really well-thought-out idea of what this might look like, and it basically is like, what's going to happen is, like, Amazon is going to swoop in and buy Regal and AMC, let's say, and movie theaters are not going to be just movie theaters anymore. It's going to be an entertainment complex where you can go pick up your Amazon package and you can go watch your favorite Amazon thing on a big screen if you want, a TV show, or you can watch a movie, much more like individually geared. And then it had all this other stuff that was this entertainment complex as well.
Sure.
All owned by Amazon, of course.
Yeah.
And I could see it going in that direction.
Absolutely. I mean, if you really think about it, movie theaters are kind of a one-trick pony, and considering how expensive real estate is, probably diversifying isn't like the worst idea in the world. Or making it more niche, like the Alamo situation, where you go there because you know no one's allowed to behave badly. People will get kicked out if they talk, you know, like they have really good food and beverages, and like they, the whole system is really yeah. geared towards like a really lovely experience. Whereas, like you said, AMC chains, it's a shit show and you never know what you're going to get. And it's like a total crap shoot as to whether you're going to have a good time or just be pissed off and feel like you've wasted your money.
Yeah, here it is. It's a really great article. It's called Prepare for the Death and Rebirth of Hollywood on Medium.com by Richard Janes. And it's an interesting read, man. I mean, this is all this one guy's opinion on what he think might happen. But he makes a pretty good case. And, you know, the Amazons, I think, look for... and he's talking about Disney as the other one, like mm-hmm. Amazon and Disney might just buy up all these theater chains and make these big entertainment complexes and like special screenings for Prime members. They'll market directly to audiences about their own platforms. So there's just a lot of synergy, I think, that a company like Amazon or Disney could do with their like retail legs, and Disney mm-hmm. would have Disney stores, of course, all in there, and pretty interesting stuff. Oh, esports. They were talking about incorporating esports leagues.
Yeah.
Because that's such a huge thing. Cafeterias and restaurants, gamers, gamer zones. Very interesting stuff, Noel.
For sure.
So I think that's enough on the, we got pretty much sidetracked, but I wanted to see before we wrap what you've been streaming, if there's been anything new on your list.
Oh, so much. Well, not so much, but a decent amount. Like, I finished Better Call Saul in real time. I just been buying them an episode at a time on Amazon. Let's see. What have I really been enjoying? There's this new show on Netflix called The Midnight Gospel.
I've heard of that.
It's a very like psychedelic cartoon where it's the creator of Adventure Time, Pendleton Ward, uh-huh. who is just a, you know, incredible mind. I always thought Adventure Time was one of the coolest kind of like adult kids cartoons that really yeah. kind of dipped its toes into sort of psychedelia and that kind of Yellow Submarine, you know, The Point kind of animation style from the 60s. And with The Midnight Gospel, he takes that and just pushes it into the stratosphere, and it's super adult. And it's a collaboration between him and Duncan Trussell.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible, weirdo comic, bordering on like a philosopher poet kind of guy. And it's just great. I don't know how else to describe it. It's really hard to, because there's so much going on in the background. It takes excerpts from Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast uh-huh. and kind of animates to it, but it's all these discussions of like Buddhism and drugs and addiction and just like life and death and just anything you can think of. And it's really it's a lot, but it's wonderful. I highly recommend checking it out, at least a couple episodes, and give it a minute, because the first two might not grab you fully, but just they're short, and just kind of give it a little bit of your attention. I think you'll feel well rewarded for it.
Yeah, I got to check that out. Frequent guest Dan Bush was talking about how much he loved that on his Facebook page. And so to get a recommendation from both you and Dan means that it's awesome. So I will check that out, Noel.
I've been working with Dan on a project. Lovely guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool dude. I can't wait to get him back. I wish he had a home recording deal. I'd love to get him back in here. Or maybe he does. I'm going to check in with him.
Yeah, you should.
All right, Noel. Well, that's it. We're only going to do one today. I appreciate you coming on and making the time. Good to see you,
you too, man, always.
Yeah. And we're doing this because I'm taking next week off, dude.
Nice.
I'm recording a little bit extra, and I am not recording anything next week, which will be a nice little break.
Very cool, man. Enjoy.
And thanks for everyone for listening. And we will have Noel back in your ear holes next week.
Looking forward to it. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.